This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yo, this episode, man, we celebrate the life of Fife Dawg, Gary Shandling, and then we get into our professional grade shit talking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's another week in the conversation.
You already know.
Tune in.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, it is End of Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, man. You know, I would typically say on my right hand side, but right now, Vladimir Camayo still on the left hand side of the nation. Working on that new sitcom. But on my left-hand side of this table,
yeah,
I got...
You got Ali Muhammad in the building.
What's good, man?
Oh, man, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
I guess old man Winter decided he wanted to come back again today for a little visit.
When you said this last week, a lot of this bipolar-ass weather is ridiculous, man.
And drop back in.
Like out here with a scarf on. It's about to be April.
Just in case you forgot.
Hey, man. It is what it is. It wasn't too cold, though, today.
On the shade side of the street, it was kind of chilly.
Oh, word?
Yeah. I had to make a little run to the restaurant. We was doing an edit, me and Sean P. And
okay.
I was like, oh, man, let's go to the new Haitian spot and get some. Man, that shade side of the street was... kind of burr.
It was a little brick.
Yeah, I had to jump to the sun side.
The new Haitian spot?
Yeah, it's a new Haitian spot. I wish I had the name, but I wasn't the one that came up with it. He knew about it.
So y'all don't fuck with the old Haitian spot no more?
Well, I never knew of the Haitian spot around my way. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So this was a new spot. Uh-huh. That's a Haitian, you know, restaurant. Okay. So... we rolled through that. I wasn't comparing it as the old spot and the new spot.
I thought it was like out with the old and with the new.
Nah. It's a new spot and it happened to be Haitian.
Okay. Shout out to all our Haitian listeners, old and new.
Ça passe.
You know what I mean? Shit, speaking of spots and eateries, I went to Peaches. I went to your spot.
Yeah, I heard it was in the neighborhood.
Yeah. I went out there with the fam of lamb. And it was a good time. Good food and shit. Yeah. Shout out to the people, man. You know, your Peaches manifesto.
The Peaches manifesto.
And definitely, that was the most spirited Yelp review I've heard in years. So I was like, let me go see what's popping over there.
Don't you say nothing bad about my Peaches.
Nuh-uh. Yeah, man. I've been there before, but not for like the brunch.
Mm-hmm.
They make a good piece of French toast over.
Oh, yeah, that's what they famous for, the French toast.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, old Damani come, every time he come from the West Coast, he got to go get that French toast.
Yeah, I could see it. Was that an intended bar, or that was just the off the head?
Oh, that was just off the, you know what I'm saying? Okay. You know how I be doing, you know what I'm saying? You know how nice I am.
Uh-huh. You on point.
I'm on point, D.
All the time. Rest in peace to Fife.
Fife Dizzle.
Oh, man.
Man, Fife Dizzle.
That shit was tough. That was like losing a family member.
And it's so interesting, man, because he been the funky diabetic.
He was the first diabetic I know.
Since he first came out.
Yeah, he was the first one I know. I think, you ever do that? Like a sign, like when you know certain people make certain ailments. They become the face.
Magic Johnson AIDS.
Fife was a diabetic.
Fife was diabetic.
T-Boz with the sickle cell.
Sickle cell, yeah.
Who else we got? Yeah. All right. Is that where it all? That's where it all is. Chris, you got anybody?
Uh oh. I was gonna say Eazy-E.
Uh huh.
But Magic Johnson took over that spot.
Eazy-E
just took it as gangster with AIDS. That he just died so fast. Magic Johnson, he lived with it, and you know what I'm saying?
He thrived with the shit.
Exactly.
He got some shit. He looked good shit. Michael Jordan looked sicker than Magic Johnson.
Oh,
man. You look at Michael Eyes, that shit got the Hennessy eye.
It definitely got the Hennessy eye because he been on that Hennessy.
Shout out to Lou Gehrig, who's the OG signature disease.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, you know, OG. You know what I mean? OG. And then, what's his man? Lance Armstrong, what he at?
ball cancer. I don't think he got nothing. No, he got his own shit.
Nah. He was known for something.
No, he was little
strong.
Because he lost the ball. He had, I think he had testicular cancer. They didn't name it after him. Oh, you said, is he the testicular cancer man?
I knew he was some. He know he was the face of some type
that's
of something.
That is too.
And then turned out to not kind of be.
What he the got, testicular cancer man?
What he got caught up in? What was his scandal?
He was taking blood and rinsing it out and putting it back in.
So we don't even know if he even was even the testicular cancer man.
That man was moving and shaking. Man. He was doing something different.
He had the con game going.
I had a mean pair of Livestrong Blazers, though. Some Nike Blazers. Them shits was fire.
Livestrong had a good run.
Did they? They kind of started that something
the rubber band joint.
The rubber band.
the rubber band man shit
from T.I. Damn, Lance. Oh, shit.
Lance ain't playing no games out here with y'all. You know what
man, pedaled off on the plug twice. Anyway. Yeah, but back to Fife, man. Yeah. Shit. It was a beast, man. One of my first favorite MCs. Up there. Yeah,
so
yeah.
You was the Fife dude.
I felt like they were, you know what it was with them? They might have been the perfect group where they balanced. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they gave, one person had something, the other person had something. Like, Tip had the voice. Fife had the ill punchlines. Like, you know, so it wasn't like one was better than the other, where certain duos you could say, okay, this cat is, you know.
Well, it seemed that way at the time. During the time, it seemed that kind of like Q-Tip was like more, he had more verses.
He was
like,
the front man.
He was the front man, but it seemed like he was technically the better MC at that time.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? To me. I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for whole hip-hop.
Yeah.
But technically, at the time, during the time, Tip was, you know what I'm saying, definitely the leader of the group and the dude who supposedly had the bars, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And then, you know, because in the introduction of Tribe, it wasn't no Fife, was it?
Yeah, it was Fife and it was Jerobi, too.
But I don't remember Fife on the first album. Did he rap
the
on
People's,
the first album?
People's Instinctive Pass and all that?
Did he rap on that?
I don't know. Don't get me
on
that.
He had verses.
I was never a big fan of the first album. I'm a low in theory and on kind of guy.
Oh, so yeah. So,
I mean, I left my wild to Elsa Gun, though, and you know, a couple other things. But the first album,
they
I
had
never...
that Footprints on that was hard.
See? Mm-hmm. You're taking it back mm-hmm. further. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
The beat.
But I never... There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Algo rhythm
had to get into it because that was my joint. Like, you know what I'm saying, off that first album. And that's like you really didn't, like back then, you know what I'm saying, you get one video and you're out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So they had El Segundo.
Right.
And it was kind of like, you know, some fun every day on BET or MTV Raps. And then when you get into the album, you kind of have to fill in all the blanks on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so Tip was the main voice at that time.
From that point. You know so maybe that informed that. Because I'm really, and I'm like that with a few groups. Like that with Mobb Deep.
Mm-hmm.
First album was that Juvenile Hell. I'm not in on it. I mean, I've heard it, but I'm not. That don't really, it's the Infamous that really kicks it off.
Right.
The Fugees is the score. Outkast for me, because I'm not from the South, is ATLiens. That's when I went to college, and that's what I was up on Outkast, like the singles, but I wasn't like into that Southern Plague, listen to Cadillac Music album. So a lot of those groups, I come in with the second one. So it was a Fife and a Q-Tip situation.
Low End was the second album?
Yes.
No doubt. So, but definitely over time, you know what I'm saying? Even at the time, Fife was always the fun one. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it wasn't to the extremity as like a Flavor Flav. Not that far.
Nah.
Not that far. But he was definitely the more loose, fun,
witty guy. He had the punchlines.
You know, Ali Shaheed Muhammad was like the Muslim, and you know, Tip was, you know,
he was the funky diabetic.
He was
tongue in cheek right there. Like if you could, you know. You know what I mean? Bust off on your couch, now you got Siemens furniture.
You know what I'm saying?
That was classic.
So, but over time, you know what I'm saying? All of the words you remember from Tribe,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I think about all the ones I remember that you put in, you know how you be in a situation in real life and then you say a verse to that situation.
Black is black.
Yeah, not well, something like that. Like okay. Black is black. But all of the ones that you remember always was Fife lines when you look back.
Oh, that, absolutely. You know the punchlines, yeah.
He had the lines that's kind of stood the test of time.
Yeah, yeah. It was like Q-Tip might have been like the setup man. You know what I mean? Like, if you look at it, that's not even in a bad way. He set the it was a counter. Like, Fife shit was punchy.
Right.
Q-Tip shit was like a little bit more jazzy. It'd be some smooth shit, you know.
I mean, conceptually, like back then, you know what I'm saying? It was all about concepts and having a verse. Like, back then, you had a 16 that was a lot of times about one thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's how Tip, he was like, you know what I'm saying? He had a whole verse about something. And you know what I'm saying? You get in the vibe with him.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, that kind of faded out, and it was more about just line for line.
Right. It became that era.
Yeah. Yeah. And Fife was right on.
Was he one of the first punchline rappers? He might have been.
Might have been. I know for a fact, you know what I'm saying, Tribe, that whole Native Tongues, which we'll get to, they had the little funky cadences. You know what I'm saying? Like the, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, rappers didn't rap like that before. Like how you talk about, you know, you know which time you came into hip hop by your cadence.
Uh-huh.
Like, that started a whole new kind of cadence.
Yeah, like jazzy. Jazzy,
just like it was just a more fluid, loose and fun type of cadence, and it was like, and they usually kept it over the song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like before, a rapper would just go for it. You know what I'm saying?
Just go straight through.
He'd go straight through the beat all the way through. Like they just kind of switched it up, and it was like the first phase of that during that era. That whole crew with Tribe and Jungle Brothers and De La.
Yeah. He said they kicked off. They're the original Shea Butters, as you would say.
The Native Tongues.
The Neo Souls.
They brought in the Shea Butter era when it was cool to wear your dreads and your
Afrocentric
leather.
Say peace.
Necklace, say peace, my queen, my sister. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, for those who don't know it, because I know I saw a couple of comments last week about, you know, people who didn't really know who Digging in the Crates was or Organized Noise.
Uh-huh.
But Native Tongues was what? Jungle Brothers.
Due to knowledge.
Jungle Brothers, Tribe.
De La,
Queen Latifah.
Yeah, Busta Rhymes.
Buster was an offshoot.
Black Sheep.
Yeah, Black Sheep.
Chi Ali.
And then, you know, like, Naughty got a pass for being with Queen Latifah, but they weren't really in it, but they was, you know, halfway affiliated.
Yeah, Moni Love.
Moni Love. Moni in the middle.
Yeah, it was a movement.
That was a whole movement. That was like the first era of, you know, the naturalistic, you know what I'm saying, Afrocentric.
Very natural
hair wearing.
Conscious.
You know what I'm saying?
It was a good look.
But they were known for having the cutie pie,
yes,
though.
It was popping.
Cute and curlies and the cute and naturals.
A lot of bright smiles.
You know what I'm saying? All that natural hair, what they doing now, is it popped off with the Native Tongues within the hip-hop community.
Right. The good twist out set.
Might be a time for a good little return of the Native Tongues. Like, Fife Dawg might have brought back, you know what I'm saying, a time where you could do that.
What you mean?
With Fife dying and then renewed interest and try.
I think it's back. You look at like Pro Era and you look at, there's a lot of little movements out there. Well,
I'm just saying for those particular groups, you know what I'm saying? I'm not necessarily, the Pro Era, they was making their moves, but you know, like De La and all them cats.
Oh, you mean it's a time for them to come back?
Yeah, to make their move.
Oh, you mean them original? I thought you meant like a brand new generation.
No. I'm just saying for them.
Yeah, I think they good anyway. They ain't really never leave, but it is a good time to put something out.
I mean, I ain't seen Jungle Brothers nowhere.
Oh, I ain't seen it. Jungle. You know De La been out. De La been out a little bit.
De La went through a little depression era.
Yeah. I guess so. It ain't what it used to be. They still, you know. Yeah, I guess
I was a De La fan. They kind of disappointed me when they kind of went. You know what I'm saying?
Commercial with it?
Not commercial. Like commercial, but they not off. But they kind of got mad. Like they was just mad at the game. Seemed like they wasn't happy to be doing it, which was disappointing as a fan.
I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, right after, like, the Stakes is High album.
Before, like, De La Soul is Dead was the beginning of it.
That's my favorite De La album.
You know what I'm saying? And that was, like, for me, like, come on, man.
That's only their second album. Yeah, listen, damn, they gave up that fast to you? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, they started giving up, man. And then when was the whole Ego Tripping? That was what? That was Stakes is High?
Ego Tripping was on... Stakes is High. No. It's the other one. Oh, shit. Don't even give it to me. It's 3 feet High Rising. De La Soul is Dead. It's not. Blue Mind State. Wasn't Blue Mind State Ego Tripping? So Ego Tripping is Ego Trip. Yeah, Ego Trip is on. I'm pretty sure that's on. Blue Mind State. Because it's
definitely at that point.
We might blow up, but we won't go pop.
Right.
They were very self aware from like way early.
Right, but then I think they kind of got obsessed with, you know what I'm saying?
Being underground?
No, not being underground, but talking about the rappers who weren't underground. You know what I'm saying? So instead of like they were before, kind of doing their own thing, talking about this is us, this how we rap, this how we, they started talking more about, you know what I'm saying, you know, niggas popping champagne and talking about girls and, you know what I'm saying, really, you know, during the Tupac era.
Right.
Really like, come on, man.
Okay.
We not into that. So it kind of like isolated you where you felt like, damn.
It wasn't inclusive.
Why y'all so mad?
I felt that way about KRS-One. He got a little angry at one point when he started really going in on the teacher.
Right.
And KRS-One was live. He was a hell of a rapper, but then it became, he started kind of standing a little bitter, like, motherfuckers wasn't respecting him as the teacher.
Right,
and it was enough to call you the teacher. But then it's like, you know, so I know what you're saying. Sometimes one of your favorites would get a little tight, and it could kind of salt up their whole shit.
Right, and then especially like but this was the first thing was when they did Me, Myself, and I, and then coming into the second album, when they were saying we not performing that no more,
right?
Because
they hated it.
We hate that. We not on it. But then it's like shit. That's my favorite joint. That's why I like you.
Yeah. It's a little soon to do that, right? That's the first single. It's the second album. So, like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Like, damn. Dude, I liked you because I like that record.
Prince is good for that shit, too. At least he got a few years of records until he full on, but there's a lot of fly
Prince
shit.
Prince was full of legendary status before he...
That's what I'm saying. But there's a lot of shit that's on the Greatest Hits album that he don't perform, supposedly.
No doubt. But, again, Prince...
Which you tighten me up.
Prince had already performed them. He had done all the shit that you could do.
But I don't care about what happened at the show before mine. I need the shit to be jamming when I pay that. Because them tickets, Prince tickets, don't seem like they cheap in any capacity.
I just seen a proposal for the Prince new concert. They're talking about $2 million investment on Prince.
What you mean? That's for how much he costs?
Yeah.
For just one show?
For that show. That piano. Prince. That's a $2 million show.
It's a hell of a show, I guess.
I just saw that on the way here.
That's exclusive.
I was like, woo.
Like, shit. It was good to know Prince still getting money.
Oh, Prince getting the money.
Hell yeah, man. But yeah, rest in peace, Fife Dog,
rest
man.
Rest in peace,
you know, celebrate
Dog.
That, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen to some Tribe, man.
Listen to the Tribe, man. I played a whole Tribe, Sweat. Q-Tip got the Abstract Radio.
Yeah.
They had a dope show on. He wasn't on it. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know what I'm saying?
Understandable.
Further fueled what I thought that they still had beef, but I found out, another thing I found out was that they was all good.
Yeah,
They was all good right now.
That's good to hear.
Working on the album.
Oh,
and my man Sean P shot them for 3 days for Complex.
Oh,
and
dope.
Said they was all, you know, they was all together. You know what I'm saying? Shit was good. Fife got a solo album that he was, you know what I'm saying, that he had done. So you probably start seeing all that shit coming out soon.
That's good to hear that they was together. Because when I saw the documentary, that was the only thing I didn't like about it. I was like, damn. Because they one of those groups. It's one of my first groups that I was like, you know, like you really invested in.
Right.
And for them not to be fucking with each other is like,
Yeah, and that you know, it's weird, funny how that, you know what I'm saying, shapes... You know what I'm saying? What you think? Because I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying? Q-Tip might have been over there mad and upset. Fife getting all the shine, and he gonna have to go through this every year on March 22nd.
Well, you know.
DJs spinning a whole set of Tribe and only playing Fife verses.
Man, that's kind of tough to do that, though. It's kind of tough to do. Just like again, I didn't listen to as much Tribe in the last week.
Tough to count what?
But it's tough to just. I mean, you could do it, but
Only reason I brought it up because I heard a DJ do it.
Oh, man.
And I was like, well, damn.
I don't think that's going to last longer than one.
You get geared up for the tip verse, and you switch it to the next fight verse. I'm like, oh.
I don't think that's going to go no further than a year.
Damn. That ain't no good. So, you know what I'm saying? And then from the documentary, and you thinking they still kind of got some type of beef, it's like, damn, this shit kind of torn.
Yeah, nah, they'll be fine now.
Yeah, but like again, it was good to hear.
Yeah, it's good to hear that they pieced it up. Yeah,
from first person account. Okay. That was, you know what I'm saying, you know, documenting the shit that, you know, they was all good.
That's what's up.
And that was like only last month when they were shooting that.
Oh, well, that's good that they was, you know, because it's tough when y'all got to make money together and you don't fuck with each other. From what I understand, I think it was on a podcast he was talking about it. I don't think that Tretch and Vinny fuck with each other, even though they do shows. They don't really fuck with it. Go get the check, and they don't. That's you don't want to hear shit like that.
But you could see Tretch. Tretch, like, man, fuck it, man. Let's just get this money, man. You stay over there. I'm gonna stay over here. Yeah. And then you see how cool Vinny is. You could just be like, all right, whatever, dog.
Yeah.
And you go over there tripping and shit.
That's some
but
crazy
shit. All them years, you know, not that they was beefing. But Outkast rose separately all them years from album two.
I guess it's a lot of that shit. It's like coworkers, you know what I mean? It's a coworker thing, you know. I hear the Roots; they take separate buses. Black Thought's
all
on
them
one bus, not all of them, but like Questlove got his own bus, and I think Thought got his own bus. You know.
I guess when you get grown and shit, you need your own space. You ain't got riding in no bunk beds and shit with a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Been doing this shit for 25 years.
That's from the fan perspective. You always like I'm sure there was years where Dr. Dre from Ed Lover, Dr. Dre could be nowhere by himself. They'd be like, yo, where Ed at? What's up with that? You know, any fucking way, man.
True indeed.
Rest in peace to Gary Shandlin.
True indeed.
That was another one.
Pull out a little liquor.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Gary Shandlin. I like Gary Shandlin, man. He was I liked him more for his shows than, you know, he's a stand-up as well. I'm familiar with a stand-up, but I used to like the Gary Shandlin show when that came on.
Right.
Just like one, the theme to his show was, this is the theme to Gary show, the opening theme to Gary show, this is the theme to Gary Shandlin show. And then the nigga just start doing the whistle. You know, I'm not the best whistler, but the whistle, this is the theme to Gary, which was funny to me because it's like, you know what I mean? This is the theme. Right. This is the theme. But it had a little melody to it.
Right.
And it was a good show. I liked it. I remember he was such a funny dude, very neurotic, very about his hair and shit. Like, you know, but he was one of them. He was like, his show was before Seinfeld. He was out there getting it in, mixing it up, you know, pulling ladies back to the crib. You know, he was out there bachelor style. Then later on, they had Larry Sanders. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of like a very meta show in the way of like late night. Like he was a late night host, so they showed it from a very meta standpoint, from in front of the camera, him doing his show, and then behind the camera, like what goes on to the show.
Right.
And it was a fucking good show. It's funny. I actually used that as the inspiration. In the Breakfast Club, Larry Sanders in the Breakfast Club as the inspiration for D-Lemon in the Morning.
Oh, wow.
Because I was like, yeah, I always liked how he dealt with both sides of the camera. Like, okay, you'll see them on air and then you'll see the repercussions. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, so I had elements from both. And, you know, so it was a hell of a show. If you've never seen it, I'm not sure if it's on HBO Go, but if you get any opportunity to find it online or anywhere, check out the Larry Sanders, and check out the Gary Shandlin show. They're both very funny.
It was an HBO show.
Well, Gary Shandlin show was on Fox. It was on Fox back in the day.
Okay.
But the Larry Sanders show was HBO show.
Yeah. And HBO now supposedly got everything. supposedly.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw somebody on Twitter say, you don't have that. You know, motherfuckers can't wait to be outraged. Uh-huh. But I think I looked on HBO and I think I did see Larry Sanders available.
Well, they was outraged, bro. Yeah.
Because somebody was like, HBO, go tell me you got Larry Sanders on the thing. And then I saw somebody tweet, no, Larry Sanders on HBO Go. I don't know if that was somebody.
HBO Go is different than HBO Now.
Okay.
HBO Now supposedly has all the shows.
Okay.
HBO Go, I think, is an extension of HBO.
Of that moment.
Right. HBO Now. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
HBO Now. So HBO Now is the one with the deep ass archive.
Right.
Is that HBO Now or HBO On?
HBO Now.
HBO Now, yeah.
I don't know what
they got
is.
All of the shit. They got all of the old, like, half-hour comedy specials and everything. Yeah, that's bananas.
I got caught up in that. That's another subscription I got caught up in.
Oh, yeah. But it's worth...
I wasn't mad at it. I signed up for it in knowing that I was going to have it.
Yeah.
But I signed up on that Game of Thrones.
Okay. Yeah, check out Larry Sanders' show. I think you would dig it. Check that out. And if you haven't checked it out, check out D-Lemon in the Morning.
Yeah, where can they find that?
That shit is online. DLemonintheMorning.com. I don't know if it's coming back.
Oh, okay.
I feel like the first season had to be watched a little bit more to justify some, it's been a while. I mean, you never could say never. My man Sim is out in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. But you know, you never know. It was fun with that. We had a lot of fun. You know what I mean? And it's some funny people that's on there. If you look back, there's people that's popping now that was on there then.
Okay. You know? It's a revolutionary.
Maybe a little A&R. It was fun. It was fun times.
No doubt. Any plans for any new shit?
Oh, yeah. We working. We writing.
I mean, for the people's style. Yeah, I know you do the TV.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Stay tuned. That's all I can say right now. Stay tuned. But I definitely want something for the people.
No doubt.
Want something for them. What about you?
I mean, I'm all for the people right now. My reach don't hit the TV yet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So my shit is all for the people.
What the people got to expect?
We talked about the El Clay show coming.
Right.
We got a docuseries, couple of docuseries that's coming. Just the whole Thorough TV is going to be everyday original shit. So that's what it's all about. Looking for some dope collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
It's going deep, deep black.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Not world star black, but deep into, you know what I'm saying, a thorough look at the culture.
There you go. Chris, you ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready. I'm writing down deep black.
There you go. There it is. There it is. Speaking of going into deep black, you know today is Travel Tuesday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so take a journey. I just saw that online, hashtag Travel Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
And I said, let me see if this is a thing. Am I late to Travel Tuesday? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? There's people out there doing a little bit. It's a lot of stunting on Tuesday.
I think Travel Tuesday hashtag is just an excuse to continue to stunt.
Oh, of course. But I'm wondering if it's got any staying power. Like, I would argue, there's Throwback Thursday,
uh-huh,
which is probably the ultimate of
Crush Wednesday.
Woman Crush Wednesday.
Man Crush Monday.
Right. What else?
I don't know.
After that, it kind of gets
Everyday dragon.
That's Monday, Wednesday. So Tuesday is the Tuesday competitor.
It used to be Transformation. No, that's Transformation Thursdays. One of them 2 days.
What's that, when you Transformation. Came up?
Workout, motherfuckers. Right. You know what I'm saying? I ain't broke no more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some dude posted the little dude who was on Bernie Mac show.
The black little kid?
Little black kid. As a little kid, then I guess somebody used his picture to say that was him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Years later. And he posted it himself where he kind of looked like him, though.
Nah,
it's not him. He was a military dude. He's like, Transformation Tuesday. I went from being on the Bernie Mac show to being in the military.
All right. Well, there you go.
He was just making fun of the fact that people thought that was the little kid.
There wouldn't be nothing wrong with that, would it?
Nah, you know what I'm saying? I guess, if you watching somebody
can't
on
serve
TV.
Serve your country after being on a sitcom?
Nah, you supposed to go on here and live. Beverly Hills, mansion. You know how that be.
You're supposed to fight fight no wars.
No, you ain't supposed to be out there doing work.
Yeah, not when you had a trailer.
Nah, you ain't even supposed to be on the damn train.
That's your memoir, from the trailer to the foxhole.
Get caught out there without a lineup. You'd have been on TV.
Oh, man, hood anxieties. Any fucking way,
but,
man.
But with the Travel Tuesday, you know, it definitely has staying power in the fact that since the beginning of this social media shit, the travel picture has been the ultimate stunt picture from day one.
The feet on the beach.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The hot dog legs.
Yeah, the hot dog legs, the feet
that
on the beach.
That was from MySpace.
What is it?
Yeah, they had that back in the MySpace era. Man,
let you know, I'll be out there.
I'll be out on the vacay. So, you know, the travel Tuesday, I guess it'll be here because people ain't going to stop stunting on you on their little vacations.
It made me want to travel.
Yeah, what's your next trip?
Shit, I'm going to Scottsdale this Thursday.
Travel Thursday.
Hell yeah, travel Thursday. So Scottsdale, get ready. I'm coming to your motherfucking city.
Yeah.
Get them tickets. There might still be some left, but I need that shit to be turned up when I come in there to talk my shit.
Yeah, man, you've been making an impact out here, you know what I'm saying, with your social media request.
Have I?
Yeah, man. People respond.
They talking to us?
Yeah, they talking to us, man. My man put the picture up, you know, listening to the conversation, barbecuing.
Oh, yeah.
Shit. I made me want to get up, pull out the grill all early with the 34 degrees.
Yeah, shout out to my man over there flipping burgers, listening to the pod. That was big shit, you know.
What I'm saying?
Hello, podcast listener. This is Jared Freed from the J Train Podcast. Every Tuesday and Friday, we take emails from college students and postgrads about everything from relationships to nonsense. No question is too small. We answer it in a funny and frank and honest way. Find new and archived episodes of the J Train Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and tune in. Check us out.
So last week, I think it might have been right after doing the pod. I had a show, but I didn't have a show until later. Mm-hmm. So I had some time to kill. I found myself with a lot of time to kill. Mm-hmm. So I said, fuck it, let me go to the movies. Because there's not many places. Well, there's plenty of places, but killing time. Killing time or loitering. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a thin line between killing time and loitering. You could go to a restaurant, go to a bar. Mm-hmm. You could find, if you could still find a Barnes & Nobles, you could go there. You could go to a Starbucks, but that sometimes be feeling like a bus depot.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? I like to go to a good movie theater sometime. Mm-hmm. See a movie if I got a couple hours to kill. So I went to go see this movie called Zootopia.
I heard that was dope.
That shit was pretty ill. It was pretty ill, and I didn't really know much about it. When I'm looking to check out a movie, I see what's playing. Mm-hmm. Then I go on my Rotten Tomatoes to see what the percentage was. This shit was like 100% or 99%.
Wow.
I was like, let me look at this shit. So I look at the trailer. I see, it's an animated piece. It's a youth oriented situation. I said, I said, fuck it, let me go. I went through. I had some time to kill. I sat in the back trying not to look too creepy, and I enjoyed myself. The shit was a good movie. There's like some race metaphors in there, some metaphors about, you know, trying your best and going for it, giving your best shot. You know, movie shit. I mean, not movie, but you know, what do they call those? Type of tales? I hate when this happens.
Aesop fable?
Not like in that lane, without an Aesop fable. Fable might be the word, but there's something else similar to a fable. Parable. I don't know what those things where it's like there's hidden messages. Let's just say that.
A proverb.
Not a proverb, but anyway, it was a good tale.
And, a good American proverb.
But it made me say, how do you kill time in your city? When you got, it's 5 o'clock. You don't really have to. You could go home, but you know, if you go home, you might get tired. You might take it in. You know what I mean? You might not come back out, but you're supposed to go to something that's popping at 9. Right. What are you doing?
Right, right.
Let me know.
Yeah, New York is a funny place. It's different than other cities. So definitely we had to get the word from the outside.
Yeah, tell us what city and what you do.
Because New York is definitely like you got 2 hours, you ain't going home.
Nah, man,
if you're on the train and you got to go to Brooklyn,
take you, damn
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's going to take you an hour to get in the house.
Right, right. And the last thing you're going to want to do is after taking an hour on the train is get back on the train.
Go back up three flights of steps, down three flights of steps.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
It's a journey.
New York, you got to be prepared. You got to be wearing all your clothes ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got your club shit on and your work shit at the same time.
If you could get a locker, you could be all right, New York. Like, they used to have lockers in the Port Authority.
That shit would get real dicey.
If you have your locker.
With a locker in New York, all kind of shit.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be crazy. A locker anywhere. Anywhere where you could have some, you got to have some shit outside your home. Oh, yeah, it could get a little, a little nervous. But that's what you feel like you need sometimes. You're like, damn.
You definitely need a locker. Your locker is your car, but then you got to pay for parking.
Right. Yeah.
So you end up with all that shit on, ready to go.
Right.
Do a little quick bathroom, fresh up.
Yeah.
And you out the door.
Hell yeah.
When we used to work at the joint, you always see that shit. Like, the bathroom be popping at 6 o'clock.
That shit is hilarious. Oh, bird baths.
A horse bath.
Oh, shit. It's hilarious.
Like, oh, that shit, a horse bath.
Oh, shit. Soap up your balls.
You're not brushing their teeth.
Oh, shit, man.
Fuck around, go in there, try to brush your teeth and somebody in there shitting.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
You might have to pass.
You know what's the worst when you in the bathroom, right? Somebody destroyed the bathroom, right? And you came in there just as they destroyed it. Then they gone. Someone else comes in. You get the credit for that destruction.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be like, that ain't my work. Right. That wasn't me. Nah, that was somebody else. I swear that wasn't what I do.
Yeah, that's how that shit be.
Oh, shit,
you
man.
You know what I'm saying? Especially like in the clubs that had them little co-ed joints.
Yeah.
And you come out and it's a girl coming behind you, but somebody before you done blew it down and fucked it up.
It's terrible. It's terrible because you got to own that. That's on you.
Ugh.
What else is going on, man?
Man, old Roscoe's filed for bankruptcy.
Chicken and waffles?
Roscoe's, the chicken and waffles staple. Damn. They still open, I think, but they say they owe like $10 to $50 million or some crazy
what?
Shit. There's millions.
Damn.
So it might not. It might be corporate Roscoe's in a second.
Oh.
Like, that's a damn, that's a rite of passage.
Yeah.
You hit the West Coast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Touchdown. Get you, you know what I'm saying?
You can't thrive off of chicken and waffles, Wick. Oh, shit, Roscoe.
I mean, they was.
They had the best chicken and waffles in the game. I've been to a few other chicken and waffle places. Ain't nobody fucking with Roscoe.
Even in the one in Chicago?
I remember, but what's the one in Chicago?
I forget all the Chicago people. Let us know the name of the joint in Chicago.
Not Harold's, but Harold's.
Yeah, Harold's.
I don't think, I didn't know Harold's did waffles. I know Harold's does chicken.
Nah, they do waffles.
They do
I think somebody claimed that they was the first.
I never knew. I always seen Harold's as a takeout.
Chicago. No, I sat down in Harold's and had chicken and waffles.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? It might not have been I don't know if it's original or a new one, but it was a newer, this one was a newer one.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Copeland's was big with chicken and waffles up in Harlem too, back in the day. They out of business. But you know, like, Roscoe's kind of like,
they put the stamp.
I've been to some other places with chicken and waffles, and touch it. It's hit or miss. I don't want to shout nobody out because, you know.
Roscoe had a good waffle. Like, a lot of places ain't got a good waffle.
Yeah. And they got a good chick. They had a good crisp piece of chicken, though.
No doubt.
They got like a Waffle House waffle.
Yeah, they got a waffle that, you know what I'm saying, that you know, some waffles be too thick. You know what I'm saying, too doughy.
You already got all that damn chicken.
Too chewy.
Right.
Roscoe's had almost like a Lego My Ego type waffle.
Right. And you douse it with wild syrup.
And butter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Then they made a good cheese egg with onion.
Wow.
Yeah, that was official. Shout out to Roscoe's. Damn, man.
Like, Roscoe's, like I say, man, first time I started going to L.A.
$10-$50 million.
Ooh. The first time I started going to L.A., you know what I'm saying, that I had made it a point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was going to check that out.
Which one do you go to?
I was going to the one in Hollywood for the longest.
The Gower.
Yeah, the Gower joint. Okay. But then I started going to the La Brea joint because it was more convenient to the apartment where I was staying. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know.
Damn, man.
Fuck with the La Brea joint. Less traffic than having to dip up through that Hollywood area.
And it's bigger, right? That's the Pico and La Brea.
Was it Pico? Yeah.
Roscoe Pico.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, so, you know, shout out to hopefully the Roscoes get it together, man. You know what I'm saying?
Get that GoFundMe.
GoFundMe. You know something.
I put a couple dollars on the GoFundMe.
Yeah,
on
Roscoe's. Which column had a GoFundMe?
Cool. Everybody got it.
Goddamn. Madiba in Fort Greene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had some troubles, you know what I'm saying? Some bills he needed to pay.
Okay.
I don't know if he made his number, because I wasn't, you know what I'm saying, contributing to it.
It's like, I'm good. I'm good on this.
Only reason I say that, because one time, I don't even know who owned the damn Madiba, but one time they had, remember when Kobe had his little troubles? And shit?
Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, when he had his little rape troubles.
Little rape troubles? Yeah, I remember that shit.
They had a sign outside of Madiba, and I don't remember what it was saying, but it was speaking to that, but it was like, almost like, you know what I'm saying, it was borderline racist, and I don't want to quote it because I don't remember exactly what it said. I just took it as borderline racist, and I ain't never been back to the Madiba.
It was racist against black people?
Yeah.
Madiba?
I'm just saying the what they wrote on this. I don't know who wrote the sign. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It might have been an employee who wrote the sign, but mm-hmm. I blame the whole establishment because it was in front of the establishment.
That's weird though.
But like I said, I can't quote it because I don't remember. All I know is I wrote them off after that.
Because I don't. Madiba, that's what they called Nelson Mandela.
It's definitely a South African restaurant, but I don't know which side of South Africa they would represent.
Oh, separatist ass Madiba.
No. I don't know. I can't say that.
Ali said.
I can't say, you know what I'm saying? All the whole thing is a personal.
You just know peaches ain't racist.
I don't know. They ain't never treated me no kind of way. I ain't never seen no racist sign in front of peaches. You know what I'm saying? I told you, racist is half white, half black.
Right. So they covered their bases.
You know what I'm saying? White Ben ain't never did nothing wrong to me. He cool with me.
White Ben.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
He cool.
Oh,
all I'm saying
is, do you
have
to say Black Ali, or is that just redundant?
You might have to say Black Ali because they might think it might not. It might be a Middle Eastern Ali.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, true.
You know what I'm saying? You have to let them know.
Okay, you're right. That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? And then if it's written, it might be, you know what I'm saying, it might be Ali. So, you know what I'm saying? If it's written,
I guess. Yeah, I do know an Ali spot like that. Shout out to the Wardrobe Mafia.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you go on Twitter and see all them white girls with Ali, but it's Ali.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
So, you know, you got to say.
Yeah, man.
If it's written.
What else is going on, man?
Speaking of what?
I was trying to throw a fucking transition.
Speaking of written. What?
And it was nothing transitioning. I was trying to do a mean alley-oop segue. And you were like, where are you throwing that? Nah, man.
The only thing that go with an alley-oop is, you know what I'm saying, you know, we don't like to talk about this kind of shit, but, you know, Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I like how you caught that.
Kyrie Irving party next. Dope.
Oh, shit.
These motherfuckers out here. You know what
man,
I'm saying?
Man, look, man.
What you think of that situation?
It's interesting, man. It's interesting in the way that this is one of those moments where, like I said, sometimes I don't like getting pulled into nobody else's stress.
Exactly.
I'm not a big fan of none of these people. Kyrie is official. He's good at what he does. Kehlani, I like that one record she got called Bright.
Mm-hmm.
Party Next Door, I really don't know much about. I've tried to listen to Party Next Door. I don't understand what's going on. Every song sounds like the same kind of song. I don't think I'm cool enough to really get Party Next Door.
You might not be a model enough.
Maybe. I don't know what it is enough, but I'm not really, that's not my lane. You know what I mean? But from what I understand, this man then came in, swept in. So what happened? Break it down.
You
break it down. Because I don't, again, like I'm,
like I
have
I said, I'm new to this shit. I know Kyrie.
Yeah.
I know Party Next Door in name just from Drake name checking them.
Right.
And the Kalani, this is my first time hearing about her.
Right.
Actually, I might have seen her name somewhere.
I've seen her perform, actually.
I ain't never heard none of her music. But understand, she was Party's girl.
Right.
They broke up.
Back in the day, yeah.
She got with Kyrie.
Yeah.
Party was, you know what I'm saying, Toronto hurt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, as they get in that OVO
when
camp.
They get in that studio, bring that hurt to the studio.
You know, that OVO camp get real
got
sensitive.
Got another smash.
You know what I'm saying?
You better cry on that track, boy.
So he was OVO hurt, you know what I'm saying? And I guess he got the opportunity. I don't know if it was after she broke up with Kyrie or, you know what I'm saying, she, you know, slid off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he got an opportunity to get her back to the house, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so he posted an OVO sensitive post.
good.
She looked sleep. He just picked her hand up, took a picture of her tat so you knew it was her, just to let you know it's real. And then posted a sensitive Toronto OVO tweet.
Damn.
I mean, a caption of, you know what I'm saying, I got the R&B chick back in my bed.
Damn.
Like, come on, B.
That's corny.
Yeah. That's corny.
I mean, see, this is a whole new generation. I don't know. What you
yeah,
think?
It's definitely a whole new generation.
But go check this. Keep going.
What?
Keep telling the story.
I'm done with the story.
Oh, nah, it gets wilder.
Go ahead.
So, Kehlani gets a lot of hate. You know what I mean? Like, people are coming for her, blah, blah, blah. You know, and
that's because of his punk ass.
Well, yeah, but check
you know
this
shit.
No, but niggas was coming for her more than him.
Obviously, but you know what I'm saying? He the one raped her hand by
picking her
hand up while she sleep.
Yeah, who knows what the situation, but he was the one that put the shit out in the world.
Yeah, with the sensitive ass caption.
Exactly, loud emo porn.
Emo porn.
So what happens, though, is I guess the attack, like all these people kind of coming in.
The dragon.
The dragon comes in. She tried to kill herself.
Damn.
Suicide attempt.
When did that happen?
Today. So there's she tweeted about it. She put her Instagram up with her.
She wasn't successful.
And, hold on a second. We'll get into that shit. Nah, I just thought that was funny. I see Duval tweet some shit that said, if you try to kill yourself and you don't fucking, you're not successful, niggas think you just bullshit. You know what I mean? Just kind of, either that or they gonna talk shit about you. But anyway, so she tweeted a photo of her or Instagrammed the photo of her with like an IV in her arm and like a long ass caption saying that, you know, nobody cheated on anybody, da 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 da. One thing led to, you know, whatever. Like, you want me to be this one person. I'm still, she's 20 years old, from what I understand. So she's still young, trying to get the shit together. And I guess she was about to kill herself and something happened. And I think, I want to say Party Next Door put another, like, he was the one that leaked another photo, like, you saved me, or she, I don't, it looked bad.
This is why I don't talk about this type of social media shit.
I say this: be strong, though. That's one of the hashtags. Stay strong, Kalani. Stay strong.
So not live strong no more. Stay strong.
Stay strong. Live strong. It would live strong too. Live.
Stay strong. So the dragon turned into a sympathetic plea.
Maybe.
Empowerment hashtag.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, this social media
hashtag
that shit moved fast, man. That shit was shit.
Yeah, man.
You know, it was a dragon, a suicide, an appeal.
You got to pay attention to the hashtags.
Man, I can't keep up.
Them hashtags are dynamic. Boy, you got to watch them. Watch the moments.
But you know what I'm saying? I guess the whole...
A lot of shit.
Poe Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, damn. I just want to know when he playing next. I want to see what kind of numbers he put up this next game. He got to drop 40.
He got to drop 40.
LeBron got to let him know. LeBron like, my nigga, do you, pal. I'm here. I'm going to keep feeding you the ball.
You know the internet ain't shit.
Oh, wow. What you say?
I see a meme where it was like, you know, Kyrie goes to LeBron and say, hey, man, you know, fuck all that. At least I got you. And then they got LeBron making a face like, shit.
But LeBron got to know, you know, he know that heartbreak.
Does he?
Well, not that type of heartbreak.
He's been with his girl since high school.
No, but the nigga Delonte, remember, he was fucking his moms.
Oh, that's a different kind of heartbreak.
But
his response to that was probably rage.
Yeah.
See the nigga sent the nigga to the... You know what I'm saying? to the sidewalk.
He did the pimp shit.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
He jellied his mind.
Skull jellied his ass.
Oh, man. Oh, shit.
So, understand. I don't know if he know. I don't know if he understand.
Yeah, maybe not. Oh, shit, man.
Hell no, nah,
what
man.
Else is going on, man?
Shit, man. My you know, we talked about my son doing the entrepreneurial shit.
Right, which one?
The older one with the t-shirts.
The t-shirt. Finesse the World.
Finesse fam. Shirts came in today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they came in right before I left. So they look official. So
you ain't wearing one?
Nah, he got to make that money.
Oh, okay.
You don't need me, bro.
I can you know unless you're going to buy one.
And like I said, you know what I'm saying? You know, it ain't something that I would wear on my chest, but I ain't 15 either. You know what
I
mean?
Look?
It's good. It came out official.
Quality nice?
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Fish Low, you know what I'm saying? Print Patrol.
Done.
They did, you know what I'm saying, a bang-up job, definitely with the details because, you know, the way he designed it, the Finesse Fam logo, it got a lot of details in it, and he had it in gold foil. So Print Patrol did a great job coming through with the details.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They do a good job over there.
That's what's up.
Fan you Fish Low.
All right.
You know what I mean? So his shirts came in, so he ready to bang out. You know, he already has some pre-orders on the, you know what I'm saying, from the gram.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
So, you know, he you know what I'm saying? He felt like he had the trap jumping. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Like, what are your sales at? He's like, hey, shit, I got orders.
You got some money coming in.
The phone was popping.
That's
so
a good
like,
look.
This is a different era with these new cats. You know, it's like young people now, they used to the entrepreneurial spirit.
Right.
Back in the day, you come trying to sell some shit at the school. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker yeah. might have a joke or two for you.
Right.
Lady, right. That's my
fuck out of here.
That shit ain't no Nike.
Yeah. It ain't Ralph, though.
Like, come on, man.
But you know, when you're a young kid, you kind of, especially in the social media era, you grow up with an audience, right? You used to people that don't know you following you. So if you savvy enough, you say, yo, maybe I can turn a profit off of this shit.
Exactly.
You know, young kids are talking about themselves as a brand.
Right.
Young.
That's all part of the game now. Like, back in our day, that shit was some, you know what I'm saying, against all odds.
Yeah, get this money.
You know what I'm saying? Especially during the crack era. Your shit wasn't no crack. Ain't buying you no Bentleys or no Benzes and shit.
Uh-huh.
That shit wasn't official.
If it wasn't a Benz, it wasn't
like,
official.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in Miami.
That's a hell of a barometer.
Which is like, shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, when the crack era came,
uh-huh.
It just fucked everything up because that became the standard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It became the standard of, you know, if you ain't got four pockets full of cash, you know what I'm saying?
Saying
and no big ass gold chain and no rent, no 30s and lows on your car and no, you know what I mean? It was just like, you ain't doing it.
You had to be conspicuously rich.
It was a whole era where in certain places, you went to like fast food.
Yeah.
And you would see no black girls working up in there.
Oh, because that shit was a
beneath. That shit had played out. Because before you would go to McDonald's and try to holler at the you know, girl at the register to get some fries or some shit.
Uh-huh.
It had became to a point like 90, 91 where it was not even cool to get a regular job.
It was against the culture.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Ain't that a bitch?
You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
That shit changed
There's
everything.
There's one dude that had a regular ass job and he went through hell. I want to tell his story.
What happened?
I don't know. So it had to be one or two dudes that had a regular ass job through all of that.
Old
McDonald's ass Larry.
Exactly.
And I want to hear his story now.
So we're going to find, if you know somebody who was in the crack era, you know what I'm saying, 88 to 96.
Working a square ass job at McDonald's.
You know what I'm saying?
Make it a what? What was it, about $6.75 in that?
That probably was a $3.75 era.
Damn.
$4 an hour type era.
Just a good minimum wage on fries, not on register. On fries. Maybe register. Give register.
Yeah, that's a come up. You get a come up.
Yeah,
now,
you get some vanity.
You show he worked his way up. I'm sure he ain't do, you know what I'm saying?
And against all odds, you worked at McDonald's in the crack era. We salute you.
We salute you.
Show us a
send us your story.
Send us your story. Send us a photo.
I'll come do the whole mini documentary on
that. You should
do
it.
I'll come shoot it.
You should do Against All Odds.
Against All Odds. Who got the story? I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that was impactful to me to see that happen where like young black kids didn't even want no jobs because you know, and I'm not saying all. I'm just talking about in some of the communities where I frequent it. You know what I'm saying? It was be hard pressed to find, you know what I'm saying, like a cute black girl working at the damn fast food.
So who was there?
You know, new immigrants, you know what I'm saying? Maybe some dudes and maybe some young dudes who ain't really care in the back, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a time where it was full of black kids doing different things, but it's just, at a point, it just kind of dwindled out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Only like cute girl you would see at the cash register at the food spot was at the dope dealer fish market or something. You know what I'm saying? It was like Big Wheels, you know what I'm saying? You, on Friday, you go get your kunk and fry and you go to Big Wheels and then the cute little girl is standing at the register taking your order.
The dope dealer fish
market. You know what I'm saying? That'd be the cutest girl you seen all day. So you can't wait to get up there.
And you can't be tight with that paper. When they tell you that catfish costs $12.
You know what I'm saying?
You better come all the way off 15.
I need a pound of that kunk and fry, you know what I'm saying? Sweet tea. Blah, blah, blah. Then you drop, you know what I'm saying?
Can't $10 say how
tip.
Much is this?
Yeah. Then you drop a $10 tip.
Excuse me. How much? Wait. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Now, what's the difference in price between the small conk and the large conk?
Nah, it wasn't no haggling. You gotta come in there ready. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, I put in the order. You know what I'm saying?
Make it rain in the conk spot.
Make it rain in the conk spot.
And give me some whiting too. Fuck it.
Cause
Thursday.
Cause the drug dealer entrepreneur, he know that why cats gonna come. All the drug dealer restaurants, you know what I'm saying? They gonna have the finest chick round at the damn register.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the only job that they gonna take.
Pretty women is always around. Well, the fish spot ain't the most aspirational shit. I was about to say, but it's like pretty women, there's certain stores where there's always there's a pretty woman there, like certain stores, and they do that on purpose go shopping for a car, it's nothing but pretty women and like just at the check-in. You go certain places, go to Atrium for years, you know Atrium, for years, it's nothing but pretty women and they expensive ass clothes. And the only reason you gonna pay all that money is because that girl at the register. Yeah, you don't wanna walk out.
Damn, showing out.
Ah, broke ass nigga. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Anyway, shit. We should just skip out. That's how you skip out. You be like, let me go. How much? All right, let me go hit this ATM. I'll be right back.
She already knows. She doesn't.
Of course,
this
she know.
Game.
Was never no ATM.
This girls, women know how to. They sniff money out on your ass off the rip. They know money coming through the dough.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have your good con game on.
That's one of the best cons ever. Looking like money when you ain't got no money.
That's why that Brooklyn swipers are so deep.
The scammers and all that. Yeah.
The scammers deep in Brooklyn.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? They showing out. I know cats all the way in other cities use Brooklyn scammers to get real shit done.
Yeah.
I don't fuck with the scammers, but when I heard, thinking like, shit, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I used the man thing, bit.
Yeah, it's a little too scary. Like, a booster is different in the way that, like, nigga, if your shit get out in the world, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you indulge, you know, that karma could come around. You know what I mean? Your ID might be next on that Summer Jam screen.
Yeah, but, you know, the boosters was, they was, you know what I'm saying, they was still the extension of what's happening.
Of a credit card, but it wasn't, yeah.
The credit card game been
forever.
It's just now, it's a thing.
It's, you know what it is? Yeah, I guess, yeah. It's always been a thing. It's always been an outfit too.
Yeah, no,
you could
no
tell
doubt.
It was conspicuous. They look like they just doing season two on Love and Hip Hop.
No doubt.
Like their wardrobe is nothing but fucking designer.
No doubt.
You like, wait a minute.
Walking billboards for the operation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Big ass fucking high end bags. Like not the like you know, the high end shopping bag.
Yeah.
Big ass Louis bag with all types of shit in it. The big joint. The doofy shit that you can't, you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous, man. Anyway.
That shopping bag. I remember when I first got to New York, the shopping bag culture was big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You see a regular motherfucker get on a train with a high-end shopping bag.
Go home and fold that shit
up. Not the high-end shit itself, but the shopping bag.
Exactly.
Like, why you keep dragging this Chloe bag in and out?
Yeah. Fold that shit up, put it in the closet till the next day.
And some of them get raggedy. You're like, come on.
Yeah.
You need to retire that one.
Yeah.
That one time you went to Louis Vuitton and bought the keychain. Yeah, now, come on, crazy. Stop playing yourself.
No. Let me get a bigger bag. You got anything bigger than that? Let me get that. Yeah, I got motherfuckers to impress. Anyway.
On the train.
Speaking of on the train, shit.
Transform and roll out.
Transform and roll out. Where you going to be this week, man?
This week, I'm going to be all up and through the city. Harlem, got a couple of shoots in Harlem. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? Going to be up in the BK.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Up on that snap at Thoro TV, Thoro TV. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Follow me.
Mm. I hear that shit. Well, look, I'm going to be at good old Scottsdale, Stand Up Scottsdale, this Thursday through Sunday. Come out. I mean, go get the tickets now. They're going fast. We're going to have a great fucking time. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.